Hello and welcome into The Ringerverse, a podcast here on the Ringer Podcast Network. My name is Charles Holmes. I'm a staff writer and host of the Ringer Music Show, and I'm joined here today with my friend Jomi, aka the Chief Meme Officer of the Ringer. Yo, Jomi, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing great. I got my Dodgers jersey on. I'm feeling it, man. I'm ready to talk Invincibles. Let's go.
All right. I gotta say something real quick. Today's a special day. You want to know why today's a special day?
Why today's a special day, Charles? Tell me.
Technically, this is the first crossover episode here at the Ringerverse. You know what I'm saying? This is a crossover episode. Yeah. The superheroes, the teams are merging. You're there with Mallory Rubin on every Tuesday. Yes. I'm with Van Lathan on Fridays, but they brought us here for a special surprise episode. You know what I'm saying?
The first Marvel DC crossover. Let's go.
I'm excited.
We're literally entering the Ringerverse right now. Incredible. Let's go.
All right. But before we got some housekeeping today, we're here for a very special episode giving our instant reactions to the Amazon animated series Invincible, which is based on the early 2000s comic book by Robert Kirkman. The first three episodes debuted over the weekend. So we're going into our general thoughts, describe our history with the comics and what we'd like to see over the course of this season. But before we do that, I got to make sure y'all tap in for the rest of the week's Ringerverse content. Yo.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower What's Next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
Jomi, can I list off what we have going on this week? It's pretty hot.
Oh, man. Go deep, bro. Go deep.
All right. On Tuesday, Mallory Rubin will be answering all of your Falcon and Winter Soldier questions. Then on Wednesday, we got Van Lathan and some special guests diving deep into HBO Max's Godzilla vs. King Kong. And last but certainly not least, on Friday, we'll have another First Reactions podcast for the third episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier. But now, back to Invincible. For those that don't know, Invincible premiered this weekend on Amazon. It's a comic book series that was made in the early 2000s by Robert Kirkman. And everybody knows Mr. Kirkman as the guy who created the hit sensation Walking Dead. So honestly, Invincible is actually was a comic that he made before Walking Dead for Image Comics. Should I give him a nice summation of who Invincible is?
Give him a little breakdown of it. Like give him a little sampler.
All right, yeah. So basically the way I would describe Invincible is it's almost like a take on Spider-Man and Superman. You have this young kid called Mark Grayson without powers in the beginning of the show and the comics, but he's the son of Omni-Man, who is this world's Superman. He is the top dog superhero. And we follow Mark Grayson, and he's basically like, when am I going to get powers? When am I going to get powers? When am I going to get powers? And then bam, all of a sudden one day, it happens. He gets super strength, he gets flight, and he's thrust into this world of superheroes. He's fighting bad guys, fighting aliens, joining this world's Teen Titans, and learning from his dad some things that he does know, and down the line, some things that he will end up finding out. Is that a good kind of lead-in for who Invincible is, Jomi? Did I do a good job?
I think that's a great, great summary. He killed us.
Jomi, what is your history with Invincible? Were you reading the comics? Did you come fresh into the Amazon series? Let me know.
I will tell you straight up, I had no idea what this show was when I got into it. Didn't read the comics. You know, I didn't even see like the ads. You know, I just woke up one day. I was like, all right, let me check what everybody's watching this week. And people were talking about Invincible. And I was like, all right, cool. Like, you know, animated superhero stuff. I love that stuff. You know, I grew up watching Teen Titans, you know, Batman. So, okay, you know, I was like, I'm into it. Let me see what's happening. And I watched episode one and I was like, oh, this is it right here. I need more of this, this show. And I marathoned the rest of the series, you know, throughout the weekend. This show, I think honestly, like even just watching the first three episodes, it has a chance to be really special.
This is what I love to see, because I started reading Invincible during its original run in the early 2000s. So this is my favorite, one of my favorites, top five comic book series of all time. And I think what you see in the first three episodes is Invincible is a show about subverting comic books and superheroes, because they take the things that we love and know about superheroes and they twist it just a little bit to make it a little more violent, a little bit more demented. And the thing about Robert Kirkman that I think people love about him is you can tell that he has a little bit of a dark side. Whether it's Walking Dead, whether it's Invincible, he likes the gore. So me talking to Jomie right now, somebody who can come into Invincible fresh, is so funny. So when you're plopped into this Technicolor world, Jomie, like were you kind of expecting the left turns that the show would take? Because I would say for like the first 30 minutes, it's just kind of a run of the mill superhero show.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, you know, coming in, I honestly thought we're getting like a little, you know, a little more PG, you know, type thing from Amazon and superheroes. You know, they got The Boys, which is his own different monster. So I thought, oh, you know, we're going to come in here, see some light, you know, father-son bonding, you know, like it's going to be real cool seeing how he navigates this thing. And then it just wasn't like that. All of a sudden, it just wasn't that. And I was like, okay.
Oh, we're not going to spoil it, but that last minute twist, I think that the series hinges on it, because it takes it from like your Cartoon Network Teen Titans into almost like Harley Quinn land, where you're like, oh, they're doing something completely different with this show.
It changes the entire game, honestly. Like it takes it from being like, oh, this is pretty cool, it's something I watch with my, you know, my brother, you know, my little cousins, to being like, oh, snap. It's a whole different level of things that are about to happen here. You know, we don't want to spoil it for y'all, you know, but it takes the show to a different level that I cannot wait to see explored in future episodes and future seasons. Like, it's incredible.
I talked to Robert Kirkman for the show. And the funny thing that people may not know is that when he was writing the comics, what it takes the episode, episode one, that big twist, I think it took him 6 or 7 issues of the comic coming out monthly to get to. So what ended up happening is like, Robert Kirkman thought that the comic would be canceled within like the first 13 issues, because you have to think like waiting six, 7 months to find out that this isn't just your normal superhero show is a lot. And what Invincible does in that first 40 minutes is condense that storyline. And I wanted to ask you, we're used to 30-minute superhero cartoons. How did you feel as a viewer coming in, knowing that this is going to be 45, 50 minutes? They're treating this almost like an hour-long drama in the same way that they treat The Boys.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. I was like, okay, you know, this is going to be something that, like, you know, I'll peep it out, you know, like, let's see, you know, what this is going to be. I honestly thought it was going to be like The Boys light, you know what I'm saying? Like, in terms of like the adultness of it, you know, but that first 30 minutes is real, like, it's real, again, like, it's real PG. I'm thinking like, this is something, you know, Teen Titans Go type stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like, but It just shifts like on a dime. It doesn't give you a second to process. It's just like, boom. And like, I'll say full stop, I saw it coming. I saw something coming. You know what I'm saying?
Something, so you knew it by
minute 30. You know, I knew something was off, you know, but then like, but again, like the spectacle of it is just special. And we haven't even talked about the voice talent. on this show?
Oh, the voice talent is stacked. Let me run through it really quick. I have it. We have Mark Grayson is played by Steven Yeun from Walking Dead fame. Nolan Grayson, his father, who plays Omni-Man, is J.K. Simmons. Debbie Grayson is Sandra Oh. So, like, already there, stacked. Rex Blow, Jason Mantzoukas, the robot, played by Zachary Quinto. So, already they are lined up and have just such a stacked roster. What did you think of the voice talent?
I mean, Bezos bucks, man. You know, when you got that type of money, you can get anybody you want, man. Like, just listening to, you know, all the actors and actresses, like, they were killing it. And I'm like, it takes you into their world, you know, because it's easy to get, you know, you can get anybody to come voice act, sit in a booth, you know, talk for a couple hours and get that check. You know what I'm saying? It's easy. You know, but everybody's putting like heart into it. Like I've never heard Sandra Oh do, you know, voiceover. She's out there. She's doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like J.K. Simmons, he was Tenzin and Korra, you know, so I've got experience with him.
Whoa, whoa. He was Tenzin. Then we got Commissioner Gordon in the Snyderverse. He was J. Jonah Jameson in the Spider-Man films. So my man, like off top, already a legend. We got four classic performances and he kills it in this.
Yeah, he's like, he's just really, really, really talented. And I mean, it goes for the whole cast. Like, everybody's like putting their all into it. And so when you feel that energy watching it, you know, especially after episode one, you're like, wow, like I want to see more.
If we break down kind of the business of Invincible, it's clear why it's hitting Amazon. They had a runaway hit with The Boys. And I think what's funny is that for a lot of people, they're going to think is like, oh, are they just doing an animated version of The Boys? Is this just Boys Light? But kind of what's funny is that Invincible came before The Boys. The Boys, as a comic, released in 2006. Robert Kirkman released Invincible in 2003. And what's funny is this was all part of a trend that was happening in Image Comics and just all independent comics in general. You had Robert Kirkman, who was doing Invincible Walking Dead. You had Mark Millar. He was hitting it out of the park with, like, things like Wanted. You had Brian K. Vaughan with Ex Machina, Why the Last Man. And all of these things were deconstructing comic books. They were deconstructing superheroes. And I think what people will see when you watch Invincible is that this is a show about deconstructing, like, what would happen if we had heroes in this real world setting? How violent would it be? How gory would it be? What are the big choices, you know?
Yeah, I think I love a lot about the show is that it doesn't shy away from like these things, the accidents that happen and the effect they have on people, you know, like, you know, again, not to spoil it, but there's a scene where one of the characters has to deal with the aftermath of an event, and you can feel the pain in their voice, and you're like, wow, like, you know, in most super, you know, Marvel movies, people die all the time and they just, you know, go back to Avengers Mansion and go hang out and play cards or whatever. But in this show, really has you grappling with the effects of being a hero is hard, being a hero is tough, you know? And I love that. I love, you know, seeing the ethos of being a superhero. It's really important. And it just brings a heft to the show that, like, a lot of superhero shows, you know, don't have, you know, these days.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I could not agree more. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we're in spoiler land on everything Invincible. All right, and we are back. One thing I want to say to everyone, we're sounding off the big spoiler warning siren. Maybe, you know, Steven, our producer, can give me a siren. Spoiler alert, all right? Get out of here, all right? We're getting into everything. So if you don't want anything spoiled, please press pause, watch the show, and then come back.
We'll still be here. We're not going anywhere.
We're not going anywhere. You know, we're going to crack open a few brewskis. We're doing the thing. So, Jomi, we do this thing. We do this thing here on the Instant Reactions pod where we try to break down what happens in the episode within 30 seconds. Do you think I could do it?
I've got faith.
I'm going to set the timer. Maybe we could do a little sound thing. We're going to set the timer. And I'm going to see if I can break down what happened in 30 seconds. All right. And go. All right, so we got Mark Grayson. He is the son of Omni-Man, this Earth's Superman. He gets powers. He's like, whoa, I got powers. They fight some aliens. Omni-Man kills this World's version of the Justice League, we have a demon, Damien Darkhold, I believe his name is, who's like, I'm going to figure out what Omni-Man has done. And Invincible, aka Mark Grayson, is none the wiser. He's just training to be a superhero under his dad. And I think that's 30 seconds. Did I do it? Did I do it?
You know what? Honestly, I got to give you a 10 out of 10. I think you nailed it. You got all the key points in there. You know, great job. Great
shout
job.
Out to my man, Van. That is way harder than I thought it was. I've been giving him shit for like, honestly,
and
for the last
two
episodes.
You had to do three episodes, too. You had to do three episodes. That's special. That's special.
Shout out to my man, Van. That is way harder than I remembered. Yo, but Jomi, dig it deeper. Did I miss anything? What were some of the big reveals as a first-time Invincible watcher that you were like, oh, man, it's going down?
I think you took care of everything. You know, again, the big reveal at the end of the first episode is, Omni-Man takes out Dollar Store Justice League.
Yeah, Dollar Store Justice League. Trader Joe's Justice League. We doing them like that?
Listen, a first-time watcher, I'm looking at them like, oh, look, that's supposed to be Batman. Okay, oh, that's supposed to be Wonder Woman. I know they have names in-universe, but I'm just looking, oh, that's supposed to be Superman. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the Flash.
That's,
you know,
Green Lantern. All right, so when you were watching this, at the end of episode one, we have Omni-Man. He's surrounded by what you call the Dollar Store Justice League. Then that world's Flash tries to come up on him, you know? You know?
Yeah.
Were you, when Omni-Man finally like gets it cracking and he basically takes his hand and squeezes this Flash's head like a watermelon, what was going through your mind?
Well, let me preface it by saying this. I knew that was coming. All right.
You knew it was coming.
I knew something was about to happen. Cause let me break it down for you real quick. All right. Let me take you back. So I'm a big fan of J.K. Simmons. All right. Like, mm-hmm. I've been watching that guy basically my whole life. And he's a terrific actor, right? And so, like, through episode one, I'm listening to him. I'm like, man, is J.K. Simmons phoning it in right now? Because, you know, he's just talking to his son. It just seemed real, like, bare bones. Like, it was just like, yes, Mark, you have to fly here, Mark. And I was like, just, what's going on? But something, because, again, like, I've seen J.K. in Legend of Korra. I've seen him in Whiplash. Even in the Farmers commercials, he brings it, right?
Wait, can I also say you do a really, really good J.K. Simmons impression? Can you give me it one more time? Give me the J.K. Simmons impression one more time.
Listen, Mark, fly here. Mark, you got to hit me in the sternum, Mark. It was real straightforward. I'm like, I know this dude has talent. Like, he can't be phoning it in right now. So someone's like, he's hiding something. He's an op, right? I don't know. Like, again, it's episode one. I don't know the whole universe yet, but something told me, like, all right, this guy's an op, right? And so when the, you know, Dollar Store Justice League, they all assemble and like, he's not there. I'm like, hey, bro, where's Omni-Man? And and then Red Rush pushes Immortal out the way, you know, of Omni-Man. I'm like, oh, it's cracking. He's a snitch. He's about to get them guys out to paint. And just that. And then the next 10 minutes, man, it's incredible. That entire scene is fantastic. Like, he sends all them dudes packing. He puts them in a pack, rolls them up, and smokes them out of there, man. That was just incredible. And, like, it had me hooked. Like, that's when I knew, like, I want to see this whole thing through.
So that's actually a great kind of segue to my next question. I wanted to know, like, for someone who I remember reading the comics as they were coming out, the first episode covers, I think, 6 or 7 comics. As a viewer, would you have been as enthralled if you didn't get that final scene? Would you have clicked on, like, the second episode as fast if there was no Omni-Man getting busy, like, ready to fuck shit up?
I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, like, watching the series, like, the first 40 minutes or so, they're interesting. Like, let me not take that away from the show.
It's a little bland. The first 40 minutes, it's not bad, but we've seen it before, you know? And it's like, what's the hook? What's the hook?
That's exactly the point. It's like, I know what this is. I've seen this 1,000 times before. Like, it's good. It's fine. But, you know, what's going to, you know, keep me coming back each week on this weekly release schedule? And then, bam, it hits. And and like it sucks you all the way in.
What do you think we are? We are in a place right now as a culture where it seems like we are super, super into evil Superman. You know, we got Zack Snyder. We got the Snyder Cut. We saw evil Superman getting busy. You know, the boys.
Yeah.
We see all of that. Now we have the third show, Invincible. What do you think as a viewer, like, why is that like the little serotonin in our brain? Our little lizard brains are like, oh, evil Superman's going to work. Yeah. Like, what is it about?
Well, I mean, Jesse Eisenberg, you know, Lex Luthor said it best. If God is all powerful, then he cannot be all good. Right. And I think
with the bar,
I think that's something we want to see. Like, what happens when the people who are supposed to be protecting us, you know, our symbols of hope, our symbols of freedom, you know, go nuts, you know, and want to destroy everything. And there's nothing we can do to stop them. Right. There's nothing you can do to put those guys away. I think it's an interesting, you know, concept. And we're getting more and more of it, like you said, because we live in a world where, like, you know, it's not ideal. You know, it's pretty dark times out here. You know what I'm saying? And so we're really leaning into that. Like, what if, you know, our symbols had the same negativity that, you know, we do?
The same human foibles as we do.
Exactly. They're supposed to be, you know, flawless, you know, powerful. You know, what if, you know, they had a bad day and decided, you know what? Who needs the earth? Right? You know, I think it's something, you know, worth looking into. And we're going to get more of it on this episode, in this series. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, how this differentiates from, you know, like evil Superman, you know, Injustice Superman, that type of stuff. But like I said, I'm excited to see it. I'm very much excited to see it.
To you, what's the most effective part of the first three episodes? Because I'll be honest, watching the first three, I'm different because like I know what everything is happening. So I think actually the effective part of having read the series is that like a lot of things get room to breathe. Where if this was like a 30-minute show, they would have to rush through a bunch of different plot points. But you get to feel for Mark. He has that Spider-Man type of trajectory where, you know, he's bad with women. He can't shoot his shot.
He's bad with women, yet still pulls him. You know?
Stop, bro.
That's like, same energy.
The whole Amber plotline, I'm like, dog, this man really got no swag whatsoever.
But he is working. And like, and that's one of the things like I like about the show. You know, I'm very much into romantic, you know, like, you know, love triangles, you know, will they, won't they? Like, I love that in the show. So immediately, you know, I see like, okay, Amber's going to be there. And then episode two pops up and you see Eve and I'm like, oh, it's about to go down.
All right. Bro. So who are you shipping? Mark and Eve or Mark and Amber, man? Because you don't know what's going to happen. Who are you looking for?
All right. Let me break it down real quick. So I've been thinking a lot about this. Like I said, this is a good show. You know, it's a brain worm. You know, it gets in and you got to think, you know. So like, you know, this is my objective opinion. All right, here's what I think is going to go down. You know, Mark and Amber are going to talk, you know, get a little Freddy. Saw the end of episode three that was macking on the bed. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like, you know, Eve's going to come in and pull Mark at the last second. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what's going to go down at that front. Personally, Amber got there first, right? That's one. You know, you got to respect that. So Eve got to back up. Although I can already see it, you know, because
I don't see a ring on the finger, Joe. That's where we got to disagree. Come on, man.
You know, it's splitting the superhero life and the regular life. Amber's going to be in the regular life. Eve's going to be in the superhero life. It's going to be tough. You know, which one does he want to go by? I got to go with Amber. You know, my girl Zazie Beetz. You know what I'm saying? I got to rock with her. You know, I can't rock with Britta. You know, like, come on, man. Again, that's going to be like a defining part of the show. Like, what does Mark do, you know, with his hero and his superhero life? You know, I want to see it. I want to get into it. You know, that's going to be an exciting thing to see over this season and hopefully future seasons.
Joe, I want to spoil it so bad for you, but I'm not.
Please don't, bro.
I'm not going to, man. I'm not going to. You know, the Ringiverse crowd, I'm on a razor's edge with them. They love me one minute, they hate me the next. You know what I'm saying?
Listen, Charles, let me take you behind the curtain a little bit. So, you know, as chief meme officer, you know, I run a couple social channels on theringer.com. And Charles, bro, they putting you in a pack right now, bro. And your mentions, bro.
Ooh, they light you up, bro.
Nah, I feel like I redeemed myself this week a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not all the way there, but I redeemed myself just a little bit.
Nah, you're gonna be back. Don't worry about it. You coming back. Jordan 96, 97, bro. Don't worry about it.
That's what I like to hear, Jomie. Let's go to the I would say probably the most important relationship on Invincible. How do you feel about the chemistry between, you know, Mark, a.k.a. Invincible, and his dad, Omni-Man, obviously J.K. Simmons, Omni-Man, Steven Yeun?
It's really special, you know, because you can see, you know, even as I said, like, it seems like J.K. was phoning it in the first episode, but you can see, like, you can, like, kind of hear how much he wants this for his son. Mark really wants the powers, and J.K., or, you know, Omni-Man wants to share it with him, you know, but it's taking too long. You know, he's you know what, like 17, 18, you know, like, when are these powers gonna kick in? And they finally do. And like, now they can finally, you know, bond like on a level, you know, that he doesn't have with his mom and stuff like that. And so to see that relationship grow, you know, even though we know like what's going on with Omni-Man, right? To see that relationship, you know, grow between like throwing the ball across the world, flying with each other, you know, having conversations, you know, while flying. It's like, it's really beautiful. And like, I know, you know, the series is going to, you know, whatever happens is going to be Invincible on one side, Omni-Man on the other side. And so like, I'm devastated that like, it's going to come crashing down. But like, as
Tell
it's
me,
building,
I'm so afraid for you. Are you ready to get your heart broken? I don't know if like, I don't know if you're ready for it.
I'm not, you know, I'm not. It's because again, it's beautiful to see, you know, father, son, you know, getting to, you know, it feels like they're learning each other for the first time. It's honestly like, you love to see it. But like, again, like as a story, as somebody who engages in superhero stories, you know, you see it. I know exactly where it's headed and it's going to be tough. Frankly, I don't think Invincible can rock with Omni-Man right now. So it's
a whole Gohan Goku situation. You know what I'm saying? Bringing a little anime into the Ringiverse. They're going to kill me for that. But he's sprinkling it. You know, bring a little manga to here. Come on now.
It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to see Invincible get clapped by his pops. It's going to be tough.
Dog, I'm not going to say anything right now, but
I'm just going off what I see, right?
We know what's going to happen. We know the tropes of at least what is going to happen. If like at some point, Mark is going to have to find out what Omni-Man is up to. And like story-wise, what we know about stories, they're going to have to go at it. And right now, Invincible's not built for that life right now.
He's not ready. He's not ready.
A couple times
he
goes out like a punk. What's the episode where they're fighting the aliens? They're fighting the aliens and these Martians or whatever you want to call them. They age, you know? And the funniest thing is that like these aliens are giving it to them. They come back a couple times and they're killing all these people. And I think at one point, Mark like hurts an old woman and he just falls apart. He falls flat. Like he's not built for this life. And I'm like, damn, Mark, like really? Like this is your son Omni-Man. Get up there. Come on, man. You know?
Well, that's like part of the show that I love. Like a lot of, you know, superhero things we watch, you know, we don't get to see what happens to the people after the fight. You know, like they save the day and then the heroes go and we don't know what happens to the people who got affected. And especially that episode in particular, episode two, you know, he takes her to the hospital, you know, he's visiting her, making sure, you know, hey, is she all right? And then to find out like she didn't make it, you know, despite him trying his best efforts, you know, for his first attempt at saving the world, it didn't help. You know, that lady, you know, she passed. But to see, you know, how hurt he was, you know, how affected he was by it, like that's a different level of ethos that I didn't honestly expect from this show. And that's why, like, on many different levels, this show, like, I think it has potential to be like really, really, really incredible.
That's actually a question from the outside looking in that I want to know is like, I already love Robert Kirkman. I already love Invincible. So I'm going to give it that chance. Do you think that an audience will give this type of show a chance? Because it is a risk that every episode we're doing the hour drama format, it's animated and it's not as recognizable as a Harley Quinn. Like Harley Quinn, you know, if you've been watching Batman, the animated series since you were a youngin' decades ago, like you know her as a character, where Invincible is a little bit harder of a bet and you were patient. You got to the final minutes of the first episode. Do you think that people are going to be willing to give it that type of chance that this show needs?
Oh, 100%. Again, because you know, the ending of episode one is incredible. And then going, you know, going forward, you know, wanting to see those relationships grow, you know, between, whether it's Mark, Amber, Mark, Eve, you know, Mark and his father, Mark and his mother, you know, seeing all those relationships develop over time, I think is, you know, is important. I think we'll get to, I think people would want to see that. But ultimately, like, I mean, for me, honestly, that's a major part of the hook, but I just love it when Omni-Man goes crazy. Oof. Like, and it's episode one was incredible, but then at the end of episode two, when he's sending them, those aliens, bro, packing, man. It's honestly like, I mean, it's part of like, you know, the animation is just spectacular.
Wait, you like the animation? All right, let's go into what we think is not as effective. Okay. This is the negative. This is the time when like they tear my ass up for my trash videos. Like,
here's what I'll say about the animation, right? There's this thing in, it's a Japanese term called Sakura, right? Mm-hmm. Where like they take, like they make sure like the animation for like whatever this amount of time is deft and special.
Yes. Right? Like for the fight scenes, you know, for this fight scenes, this is where the budget for the episode went.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Like the fight at the end of episode one, where he fights Dollar Store Justice League, and at the end of episode two, where he's going through that entire planet. Like that's the stuff I was like, all right, this looks good. I will say, like, some of the background extra, it do look like, you know, it's a Tomb Raider 2003
out there. That's what I'm talking about, Jovi. I got him on my side. So there are set pieces in this where it looks spectacular. The animation, how they're fighting. I'm like, all right, yo, Bezos dropped some money. Oh, no,
Bezos' bucks was being spent, bro. Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
But when they're not being spent, those backgrounds look rough. My dude, the people running in the background. I'm like, whoa, man, this is like OG PlayStation type graphics. Like, what is going on?
Yeah,
and we live in a world, you know, I don't know if you into like, you know, we're in a world where we watching Jujutsu Kaisen, what's happening over there. We watching what's happening in Demon Slayer and all these things. I'm like, bro, come on, y'all couldn't call MAPPA? Like, we couldn't get some like, we couldn't get a little bit extra level? Come on, man.
I'm willing to chalk it up to quarantine. You know, they working from home. It's a tough, you know what I'm saying? It's tough. You know, I'm going to let them slide on season one. You know, we'll see what happens when the world gets back to normal.
If,
you know,
season one's as successful as I hope it will be, I need them to come with it a little bit more season two.
And listen, the cast is expensive already, bro.
You know that's where they drop most of the money.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So the cast got to get some money. They don't leave a lot for the animation, you know. You got to decisions, you know?
All right. See, that's my only little negativity of the podcast, of the episode. We're going to keep it light. But you know, like, I just didn't want to seem like I was the only one hating.
Nah, it's not. I mean, again, like it's not even a big deal. It's just really like, you know, if you've been watching animated shows for as long as we have, you know, you notice things like that. Where like that looks a little off, or that looks a little cheap.
But it didn't take away from it too much. It didn't take away from the impact.
That's not worry. Like, because again, when the animation is good, it's good. It's good. So like that's not gonna ruin it for me at all. No, sir. So
since I've read 144 issues of this. I'm not going to give my usual predictions. I'm not going to spoil it because I know what's going to happen. But what I want to do for this special episode of the Ringerverse, Jomi, I want to hear some of your predictions. Maybe we check back in at the end of the season and see how right you are. You know, what are some predictions you got?
Off the bat, I think it's, you know, again, like I've mentioned before, Omni-Man v. Invincible, and Omni-Man's going to send his son to the hospital big time. Like, it's not going to be close. You know, he's going to be fighting one hand behind his back.
Wait, you don't have any faith in Mark? You don't think Mark could hit the gym a little bit
and
get his hands up?
I've seen Omni-Man sleepwalk through killing people. No. No. Mark got no chance. I mean, he's got, you know, he's got his friends, you know, Adam Eve, Rexplode.
Yeah, what did you think about his little group, Adam Eve, Rexplode, Duplicate, Robot? They, even them, I'm just like, y'all don't seem ready for...
No. None of them. Even, like, the new team they form at the end of episode three, like, don't have a chance. Like, it's not going to happen for them. I think, I like the new additions. I like Zachary Quinto is just doing Spock again, which is really great for him. You know, get the checks doing the same role in a different, you know, voice modulator. you know. But ultimately, like, I don't think even with all of them together can handle him, Omni-Man. So I think like that's gonna be you know what happens at the end of episode, season one is, you know, Omni-Man standing tall against everybody and just having the rest of them be like, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to beat this guy? In terms of Mark's, you know, relationship life, I...
Why are you laughing, Jomi? Don't laugh.
Because again, like, I spent a lot of time watching a lot of television shows, right? So I already know that Eve is going to put the moves on my guy, Mark, and leave Amber in the dust, bro.
There's a Summer Walker album waiting to happen.
I'm telling you, man. Like, we're going to open season two, and Amber's going to be on Twitter talking about, like, yeah, man, that's why I don't mess with these dudes, bro. She's going to be subtweeting my guy all summer long. And then my last prediction is probably going to be, I think Demon Blood is going to, he's going to figure it out some way, somehow.
He's going to figure it out?
He's going to, Omni-Man's
slip up. So what is he going to do? If Mark can't be Omni-Man, what the fuck is he going to do once he figures it out, man?
Look, all Demon Blood's got to be like, hey, look, I got you, right? You can either come in easy or come in hard. I'm already in hell. You can't do nothing to me. All I got to do is tell Walton Goggins, you know, president man, about what's going down, and you're finished. So, like, what can we do to come to an arrangement where you don't try and kill me, and you come in peacefully, you know? Like, I think that's what ultimately sets it off, is Omni-Man gets caught up, right? He's like, hey, Mark, I need your help, bro. They got me jammed up. Mark's like, hey, bro, I can't do that, man. Like, I'm cool with humans, you know? Like, I'm on set, you know? Because, I mean, Omni-Man's goal, I think, like, again, not reading the comics, not reading anything, he's supposed to be Earth's conqueror, right? Because he has that line in episode two where, like, Earth is not yours to conquer, which is like, oh, like that. I didn't think that was an accident. I think that was on purpose, you know? So he gets rid of the, you know, Dollar Store Justice League, you know, Guardians of the Globe, because they're probably the ones who stand, you know, the most in his way of Earth conquering. And, you know, his thing is like, I own this planet, so you aliens can't come in here and take it from me. Sends them packing. And whoever else wants to get these hands can go get them. Now, when Demon Blood finds out and he's like, hey, bud, you're a problem. We can't have you out here. I'm like, hey, Mark, we're Vilgamites. We're supposed to, you know, conquer this planet. You know, you're my son. I was hoping we could do this father son thing. And Mark's like, I'm half human. I'm not really feeling it like that. You can't have that. He's like, come on, son. And Mark's like, no, dad, remember mom, you know, she's human. You know, we want to protect her. And he's like, no. And that's where it all comes to a head. And so I can't wait for that.
Oh, all right. So we got some predictions. We got some Jomi predictions. We'll see what happens, honestly. And does this, the thing that now that I see that, you know, people are excited about the animated series is now I want to see what Seth Rogen does. You know, I want to see what Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg do with the live action movie. Knowing that people are rocking with the animated series gives me hope that one day we'll see Seth Rogen's and Evan Goldberg's Invincible live action movie. Does this make you hype for the live action movie, my man?
I gotta be honest, I'm loving the animated style. Ooh. I love it. I love the way it looks. Like, I mean, again, it's, you know, janky at times, but I just love the fact that they're able to do things that live action probably be more expensive.
I don't think live action can do everything that we're seeing in the animated series. That's actually one of the effective things that I think the show does, is like within the span of three episodes, we get Omni-Man going off against the Dollar Store Justice League. We get multiple alien invasions. We get Mark and Adam Eve going against Earthquake Man. We get action. And I think that's probably one of the hurdles that Seth Rogen and co will have to get over, is like, how do you pack this much action and gore into a live action movie that's not from the MCU or the DCU, you know?
I think it'll be interesting to see, like, you know, with the amount of CGI, you know, practical effects, like what's the breakdown there? And then just, you know, seeing Seth Rogen's vision come to life again, like, you know, he's the executive producer on The Boys, you know, yep. So he's got background experience with this kind of stuff. It'll be interesting. Like, I'm not going to say no to more Invincible, you know, live action animated. Like, I'm ready, you know? So
you ready?
I'm ready. Whatever Evan Goldberg and Seth Rogen got for me, I'm about it.
That's a great way, I think, to end what is the official first crossover episode here at the Ringerverse. Jomie, wait, who would you be, Jomie, in this crossover?
I want to be Black Panther because I'm rich, I'm handsome, and I got this vibranium drip. You feel me? Plus, I'm African already, so you know.
All right, I was about to roast you. I'm like, Black man, really, man, really?
Yes.
You going
yes.
for Black Panther?
Wakanda forever.
I don't know who I would be. You know, well, you teamed up with who's an evil? You teamed up with the ringer Thanos. That's what I'll say. You know what I'm saying? I'm just tipping the scales.
Anyone with Vance pronunciation.
Thanos. I'm riding with my man. I'm riding with my man. Okay. You got the Ringer's Thanos and the Ringer's Black Panther here on the first crossover episode of the Ringerverse. Make sure you guys tap in Tuesday for Mallory Rubin's podcast on everything Falcon and the Winter Soldier. She will be answering all of y'all's questions. Then we have Van coming back on Wednesday with a first reaction pod with some special guests with Godzilla vs. King Kong. And last but certainly not least, episode 3 of Falcon and the Winter Soldier this Friday. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. We'll see y'all later.